The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Which is how we do wrestling shows.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted here in the Podzilla 1985 Network. Yay! That was awful, but I'm keeping it. My name is Shannon Young. Yes. I'm going to be your host for tonight. With me, of course, we have Double H.
That's me. That is. I am not Kermit.
I hear footsteps.
But so I can be if you want.
Assume Uh-oh. That means Lindsay is home.
Or, I thought you meant like coming into the room.
No, they're either above me, because she is on the top floor of the abode and I live on the bottom floor.
Yes.
So either she is above me or she was walking to my door, heard me talking on the show and was like, I won't bother him right now, and went back the other way. Or someone broke into the house. It's one or the other.
That could also be it, yes.
It could be any of these things. This weekend, ladies and gentlemen, before we start the show, let me remind you that it is Cape Championship Wrestling Super Show 6, the biggest show of the year for Cape Championship Wrestling. We got a lot of great matches on the card. Joey O'Reilly versus Austin Lane with wrestling legend, ECW legend, Jerry Lynn as the special guest referee. We've also got Matt Cardona, the former Zack Ryder, the king of death matches, the hardcore icon, taking on KLD, who is a fantastic wrestler if you've never seen him wrestle before. We've got our good friend Dalton Anthony and his tag team partner Kevin Cade going up against No Role Models to pick a definitive tag team champion here in CCW. We got a lot of it's a stacked card. It's fantastic. I will be hosting the show as well as being in the corner of Austin Lane for the main event. And our good friend Jeff Odell will be hosting up in the Skybox, which is the VIP section for CCW. So it's going to be a lot of fun. That's this Saturday, of course. Bell time, 6 p.m. AC Brazzi Arena, Cape Girardeau. Don't miss it. Hunter, let's get going with the show.
I guess breaking news to start. Oh. This is bizarre. Okay. I did not know. 44 seconds ago, AEW posted a little image you might be interested in seeing. I'll just screenshot it here because I can't do that. But I can tell you what's going on without getting into all that. It's official. Roderick Strong is hashtag All Elite.
Oh,
apparently he has made the jump.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
That's on their Instagram literally as of 1 minute ago.
I like Roderick Strong. I've always been a fan. Yeah. He wasn't my favorite member, but he's a good talent. My problem with that is he is now a good talent in a sea of good talents that they don't know how to do jack shit with.
Yes, that is the immediate concern. I'd love to see him do something with Adam Cole again, but at this point, that it's been ships passing in the night for the Undisputed Era in there because they've already lost Bobby Fish. Bobby Fish, as you know, is cutting just the best promos over in Impact.
Well, where's the lie?
Where's the lie?
Yeah, Bobby Fish went fucking crazy. Is what happened with that guy. Bobby Fish was, I mean, to be fair, Bobby Fish was always he was like the weird one in the group. He was the one that I only remembered because his last name was Fish and he had that mustache.
The mustache.
The fish.
You know what really
killed
me about that though? I thought he had the coolest overall look of all those guys. Yeah. I thought Bobby Fish looked like a badass.
He did.
Like, this is awesome. He looks like the kind of guy. Yeah. Who, if he has the, you know, the talent and the gimmick and the right, you know, support behind him, could be a major player.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the other person who thought that, and the only other person, was Bobby Fish. That has been a problem for him.
And then he decided to go ham on CM Punk for absolutely no reason. And just,
I mean, again, sometimes you just start trying to box with God to see if you can get his attention. Like that's all it is.
Well, as long as God isn't a UFC fighter, I think Funk's going to be okay. Punk's going to be okay. Funk and Funk. CM Funk. Well,
and Funk.
Let's book CM Funk. That'll be
get him in there.
That'll be good. Yeah, you've got. I mean, technically, since they work with Impact, you could theoretically have the entire Undisputed Era back with Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and those guys. But we'll see what happens. I haven't seen Kyle O'Reilly in forever. I think he's injured. which is a shame because he's really good. I met Kyle at actually a CCW show a couple years ago before he debuted in NXT. He was
Unless I'm crazy, I did too. I think he was at the very last show I was at.
Yeah, I believe so.
I'm almost positive.
Yeah,
yeah.
I ran into him backstage. This is back before I was a manager. This is back before I did anything other than commentary or. Well, pretty much the podcast. We were just kind of helping out with backstage interviews and bumped into him backstage. He couldn't have been a nicer guy. I thought Kyle O'Reilly was fantastic. I think Mandy thought he was pretty hot, too. Don't tell Justin Smart. Justin won in the end, obviously. Hunter, let's start the show as we do every week with the power of negativity. Now, of course, as you all are well aware, you should be aware, over on the Nerdiest Part of the Ring with our good friends Asa Gray and Dalton Anthony, they start every show with the power of positivity. Hunter and I take the opposite approach. We are the balance.
You must have the darkness with the light.
Yes. So we like to talk about our least favorite things in wrestling this week, and mine is actually kind of a throwback. I was reading through, someone on Squared Circle posted a GIF. GIF. Deborah McMichael. What was her name in WWE? It wasn't Deborah McMichael. It was Deborah. Was it just Deborah?
It's called Deborah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and then she was, I think she played Stone Cold's wife there for a while, too.
Yep.
Because she was Stone Cold's
wife. Well,
she
was his manager.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
They were married, and she was his manager, because that was one of the buildups to WrestleMania 17? X7, because Rock and Austin, they Vince like forced her to be Rock's manager. It was a whole weird thing for a while.
Well, it was weird in general. It was a GIF of her, and it might have actually been a video, but it was like 30-40 seconds of her at one of Jeff Jarrett's matches. It was a tag match. Owen Hart was there too, and she was wearing a red coat, and under the red coat was just bra and panties. It was just a black thong and black bra and a red jacket.
Sure, you do.
And that was her managerial attire. That upset me enough. Thinking that we come from an era in wrestling where women were paraded around like pieces of meat, thrown in their underwear, and said, "Get out there and make them horny. Get out there so King can yell puppies for 20 minutes straight." That
yes,
will never
get old.
She was
the progenitor of that. If you recall, yeah,
yeah,
and I should say she was the catalyst for it because it was King who did all the.
She was the victim of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, there you go.
Of course, someone said, what did people think of Deborah McMichael back then, or Deborah Williams, or Deborah Austin, or whatever?
Yeah.
And of course, the popular thought was, well, I masturbated a lot to her, which, I mean, sure, fair play. But then someone said something that I had forgotten, and I don't know how I always forget this in this world of cancel culture, that I liked her a lot, thought her and Austin were a great team until he beat the shit out of her. And I started looking into it.
Yep.
I forgot that he beat her so badly the cops were called and they ended up arresting him.
Yes.
And according to her, it was like three times he had beaten her. And it always makes me laugh that like, well, not laugh, but the fact that Stone Cold is so revered as such a, amazing talent, one of the best ever, that they just kind of overlook the fact that he beat the shit out of his wife as an alcoholic.
I don't remember the exact, like I don't want to call it an idiom, but the exact little phrasing, but basically it's that thing about there is a way to get far enough up the chain that certain stuff becomes forgivable. Like the further up the chain you are of popularity, of riches, of notoriety and fame, the more you can get away with inherently, literally just by virtue of the fact that you are this person and people don't want to have to let you go. So they will excuse more and more.
Unless they turn on you, which they did to say a Hulk Hogan, who was never really forgiven by the internet at large for the terrible things he said. And like, I'm not going to get into a debate on which is worse, saying awful racist things or beating your wife. I think they're both pretty bad. But the fact that Hogan has been blacklisted for so long, and don't get me wrong, like I think Hogan is kind of a piece of garbage. He was my childhood hero. Never meet your heroes, obviously. But I do find it funny that Stone Cold Steve Austin, you never hear that about him. It's always what an amazing talent is, and you forget the fact that he beat his wife. And look, I'm sure he's changed. I'm sure he's gotten better. But the internet has taught me one thing: it's that it's very difficult to let go of something somebody did that was bad. That you ride them forever and shame them into the dirt for what they've done. So it put me in a bad mood remembering that Stone Cold was a wife beater. I mean, that's That's bad. That's just bad.
Yeah. It sucks.
It sucks. And I always thought Deborah was fine. She was fine.
Yeah.
She was getting a role.
I was going to say, that was in an era of they weren't really given a lot to do anyway, so existence was about all you had to go with.
Exist in an attractive way. Congratulations.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. That's all.
Yeah. What about you? What do you got this week?
Mine's less less incendiary. I hate to say it that way, but it is worth noting. And it was almost a blip on the radar today of all the weird things that have happened in the past week. But like many other Fortune 500 companies or whatever distinction you want to give them, WWE is now forcing all their employees back into the office, away from the work at home. They since the pandemic have had a first work at home and then a split work at home in the office schedule. Apparently it was really productive. People liked it a lot. They liked that they had options about when they, needed to come in versus when they could. But as of today, Nick Khan has told all corporate WWE employees that starting Monday next week, they will all be expected to be back in the office full time regularly. Notably, Shannon, do you remember what they've been building recently?
Physically building?
Uh-huh.
A mountain of tears for Cody Rhodes.
Well, in addition to that, they've also been building a new corporate headquarters.
Oh!
Which is right across the interstate, basically, from the old Titan Towers in Stamford, Connecticut. You can see the buildings from each other. Yeah. So, what a surprise that now that they have built a massively expensive, huge corporate structure that I'm sure is state-of-the-art and very expensive.
They spared no expense.
We got to use it.
Yeah,
you got to use it. So naturally now everyone's got to come back to the office and work. Boy, I can't tell you how much I hate, and it's not just for wrestling, but in general, the fact that one of the greatest things that could have come out of the pandemic, one of the good little shining lights could have been, look, we're all very capable, or at least many of us are very capable of doing the jobs that we do from our homes. It also makes us better in general. We can relax, where so many other benefits, we're not in our cars going back and forth all the time, so that's good for the earth. Just let us do that. And that was fine while it was necessary. But the people who own these buildings and pump money into them and just have a general desire to watch the little worker bees do their thing, we're like, well, we'll let you get by with that for a while, but sooner or later, we're going to talk about how, and sure enough, I don't have it up in front of me, but Nick Khan's little email that he sent out is we work better together, we're more creative together, we're stronger together, towing that WWE, then now forever together line. It's just bullshit, and it sucks for people who are, in a position where I'm sure that they're, if they wanted to be back in the office full time, they would already be. This is a mandate. This is not approval or them saying, okay, well, that's fine if you want to do that. They're now mandating it because no one was going to do it otherwise.
I think there'd be so many people, and I'm not saying it's correct or anything, because I'm happy for people that do well, but there would probably be some pushback from people that have to be there every day going, well, why do we have to be here but they don't? But with that said, I agree. Everybody was happier working from home except me, because I was home during the pandemic and it was the worst month of my life. So I was glad to see humans again, but that was just me personally. Now, two and a half years later,
I'd rather be home. Right? Not getting too much into what I do and all that, but doing what I do and then having the time. When I say work from home, I mean do the work that you need to from a place where I get it done just as well here as I would in the place where I go to do it.
Yeah.
And then spend the rest of your time not necessarily staying at home. That was the worst part of lockdown, was that it wasn't just do your work at home. It was do everything at home. Don't see anyone other than the people you live with, because otherwise you might get sick and die.
Yes.
But the version of it now where we're not as concerned about that, and instead it's just, hey, you can do this from your laptop at your desk in your home just as well as you can do it from here, then why the hell would you come here half an hour away?
Right.
Just do this here.
It just makes sense. Yeah.
Yes.
It just makes sense. Except it doesn't,
because again, someone's got a corporate lease. They've got to justify the building they built or paid for or whatever, and here we are.
Oh, yeah. No. If I paid for a building like that, you better get to work. Exactly. It better be like The Sims. I want to block off the bathrooms, and I want to see you looking up at the look at the camera, waving your hand, going, "Skip." Well, now we're just doing Scatman. Skip it about me. It's not the same. Let's get into some topics here on the show tonight. Last week we talked about our losing faith in WWE after WrestleMania. We got a couple things to talk about here tonight. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with a tale of two lawsuits, or do you want to start with some punk backstage at Raw?
I mean, if you want to go chronologically, it's the latter, right? That was the first thing really that happened this week, or the big thing that we heard about early on. And I'm going to say this up front, because by now, nobody listening to this is going to be surprised to hear that CM Punk was backstage at Raw in Chicago at the
Ultimate
Arena. but, all right, one person
is going to be surprised. Bobby Fish is shocked.
Well, not that shocked. But one thing that I saw about this is that the internet has made a very big deal about this, and the headline was breaking news: man visits friends. Now, do I think that's extremely reductive? Yes, because obviously there was a little more to it than
there's
that.
There's a bit of a story.
The gist of it is that the facts are CM Punk was backstage at Raw at the Allstate Arena in Chicago on Monday. Again, it's like a block away from his house, I think. He visited with several people, and off the top of my head, I do not have the list. Although I do remember people saying that's the weirdest stable ever, because I know that it was Punk, in addition to CM Punk, obviously it was Triple H,
The Miz,
Baron Corbin,
nicest guy in the world,
and Tamina. Those are the only ones I remember specifically. Yeah.
Someone's having a field day in their 2K23 right now in the universe mode.
The Triple H meeting was said to have been very brief, as I recall. Like, it was like seconds of basically just a handshake. How you doing? Good to see you. The Miz is the only one I think he talked to extensively. There was some talk of like burying the hatchet because the two of them did not like each other very much. I don't know if you recall, a few years ago, Miz took a little shot at Punk, and
that was the first time that I ever realized that Punk had the thinnest skin I had ever seen.
It wasn't anything all that intense, and Punk's response was, if I remember him, go suck a blood money covered dick in Saudi Arabia, you fucking dork.
Yeah.
He said on Twitter, too, importantly.
Scorched earth.
Big man. Yeah. So those things happened, and then Baron Corbin, I don't know anything about the meeting between the two of them. Tamina, I think he was actually talking to in the parking lot, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then here's where it gets weird. Reportedly, the WWE's head of security asked him to leave. At whose behest, I don't know, unless it was just him.
So, I've seen some people...
And then Punk left with no incident.
Yeah, I've seen people discussing this, and first off, I do think it's cool that he shook hands with Triple H, like, because those two had a very, you know, the way it ended with him getting fired on his wedding day and always kind of blaming Punk and Vince. It is nice to see that Punk and Triple H at least buried a hatchet, because that means down the line, they could potentially work together. There is money to be made.
And I'm going to come back to that later, because there's something to that as well.
But I think the reason he was asked to leave, and the popular belief, and the one that I buy, is that they were trying to avoid any potential, you know, it looking like they were tampering with an AEW talent, because that is something that Tony Khan has accused them of before, and if I remember recently, was really going after WWE for tampering with their talent. So they may have just been like, okay, Punk, especially with the way, you know, the controversy that surrounds CM Punk and the way that he left AEW temporarily or, you know, forever, whatever, they were probably like, this is a headache we don't need. And I'm sure they politely asked him to leave for these reasons, and Punk probably went, yeah, man, that's cool. I said hi to everybody. I'll take off. So,
and that seemed to be what it was. Again, they said not just that he left without incident, but that he was like, absolutely, yeah, no problem. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, he wasn't thrown out or anything. They didn't escort him.
It didn't seem like it had anything to do with Triple H, because again, they met. So you would think if they met at that time, he would be the one to be like, hey, man, good to see you, but you got to go.
Yeah.
Vince was notably not at Raw, so this is one of those, just to get ahead of it, you can't go, this is Vince.
Although he did submit some rewrites.
Had a bunch of rewrites. Yeah, but he
Thank
did it
God
remotely, so he wasn't there.
He's not involved in wrestling anymore.
unless somebody texted him. This is the only thing I can imagine. This is full conspiracy theory. Some like staunch Vince supporter texted him, "Hey, Punk is backstage." At which point Vince was like, "Get him the fuck out.
Get him out, damn it."
And then because he wasn't there to do it, somebody was, you know, was the buffer of just like, "Okay, I'm going to get him out, but I'll be cool about it." I think that's full on conspiracy. Cuz again, as I recall, Punk and Vince weren't the ones who didn't like each other. It was actually Punk and Triple H.
Right.
Like, Punk didn't really have a big problem with Vince. He didn't like the booking that he was being given, but...
Yeah, beyond that, you know, infamous promo that he cut in the middle of the ring where he detailed Vince.
Well, yeah.
Which was a promo, yeah, but, you know, drenched in reality, that was...
Yes. There has also been some speculation, this is what I said I was going to come back to, and again, this is all rumor and speculation, that Punk was not just there to visit friends because all the people he mentioned were either, like... a couple people he kind of made amends with, and then people we don't even know if he knew very well, but that he was trying to kind of... He was the one who was kind of trying to stir the pot of, like, not necessarily am I going to WWE, but, like, I've been on TV since last summer, I haven't been seen out doing stuff, haven't commented on what's going on, you know, is he basically drumming up interest for AEW, which would be another reason that WWE would be like, hey, man, you gotta go. You're not gonna, you know, come... promote your company if they are your company,
right?
At our show just by showing up, and then the dirt sheets grab it and run with it. So
yeah, I don't think there's much of a conspiracy. He visited people backstage, and whether he did this on purpose or if he literally, I hope that Punk is just making amends, and everybody's making amends with each other because we're all grown ups now. This, you know. Right. And as a grown up, well, that's what you do, is you act like an adult and you make amends and you bury the hatchet. No, whether that's true or he was just positioning himself for a better spot in AEW, I don't know. But I guess we'll see in the next couple of weeks. Because they're talking about the new show for AEW is named after Punk, or it's
starting
based
this
around
summer.
Punk. Yeah.
Yeah, starting this summer, that the first show is going to be at the Allstate Arena in Chicago, or Allstate, I can't remember. It's in Chicago.
Yeah.
And that he would kind of, that's where he'd make his big return and all that. In terms of Punk making amends with people, it has been noted lately that apparently he and Chris Jericho have met. They weren't on great terms after what happened last summer. Jericho was kind of the ringleader outside of the actual fight, of being like, you're a dick, you need to cut it out. But yeah, evidently the two of them met, kind of got together and figured out they can work, you know, without any issues. Word has it that he wanted to also talk to Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Someone said, hey, not a great time right now, but let's move toward that. So, I mean, it might just be he's like an alcoholic, ironically enough, for CM Punk in that phase of the thing where you have to, you know, make amends with the people you wronged and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or that wronged you. That's the most realistic version.
Or that wronged you.
Yeah, go and get the closure that you need for the issues that you have there.
Because
so,
I don't, you know, maybe. I was incredibly critical of CM Punk when he left WWE. Sure. I went to town on him. But I was a huge CM Punk fan, so I took it.
Yes.
I took it personally that he walked out, and I was, you know, people were chanting for him, and I was so mad. Like, you don't chant for this dude. He left. He quit. But again, that was 10 years ago almost. So if not 10 years ago,
2013.
Yeah. So we've all grown up since then, you know, and we see things a little bit differently. Yeah. So we'll see what happens in the future, and of course we'll follow the story, but as of right now, it just seems like you said, man visits friends.
Yeah.
End of
and
story.
I'll tell you what else. Was it Raw? A new title, new championship. Well, everything old is new again, I guess. Anyway,
moving on from that, let's talk about I don't hate the title.
All right, good story.
I think the title. I like.
I don't either.
I think it looks fine. I think it looks better than the belt that they have. And what I'm really happy about is now that this is the belt that, you know, they're going to be using going forward, that the CCW championship, which was created in homage to the WWE title or as a blatant ripoff, no longer looks like the WWE title. So I'm happy about that.
Well, but it does, because they're still using that one too.
Well, yeah, so, but you won't see it as much because.
No, that's true. We don't see it now anyway. Roman Reigns hasn't been on the show in 20 days.
Exactly, and nor should he.
So, just to clarify for those who the uninitiated, in case you missed it, on Monday, Raw, Triple H had another major announcement. Triple H, by the way, doing as many major announcements as Tony Khan. Like,
right, they're just
every
going back
week,
and forth.
Both these motherfuckers are on their shows.
Yeah.
So this time it was Triple H announcing a new championship. You know, they got the draft coming up. It starts this Friday on SmackDown. Continues next Monday on Raw. They've also got the Night of Champions pay-per-view coming up over in Saudi Arabia. Ironically, we were just talking about. Triple H basically says, look, when the draft is done, people are going to be confined to their shows. Wink. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. And Roman Reigns has, he kind of cut a promo on Roman Reigns. It was kind of weird where he's like, you know, he's positioned himself into this situation where he doesn't have to defend either of these titles that he has very often. That's good for him, but it's not good for you. So basically they brought out Triple H's fusion dance of the old big gold belt and the current WWE title. They're calling it the World Heavyweight Championship again. So basically the one that he, of course, was gifted by Eric Bischoff, that was previously the WCW title. And the line for Triple H is, after the draft, wherever Roman Reigns goes, his titles go with him to that show. This title goes to the other show. So this will be either the Raw or the SmackDown like world title. And you got to imagine they're just going to drop the Universal title. That Roman Reigns will, they'll retire the Universal title with him. He will be the WWE champion, and this person will be the World Heavyweight Champion, just like when they first did the brand split.
I hate so much that the storyline is, well, Roman beat everybody, and he's got himself a better position, so we're just going to introduce a consolation title to Cody or yes. to whoever wins it.
You said it right, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, and
that's
boy,
the rumor.
They
right?
can't. I mean, they can't do that, because if they do that,
I would like to hope they wouldn't.
I
would like to hope they wouldn't.
That you might as well get some mafia guys to bury Cody Rhodes at that point, because that motherfucker's not coming back.
Just get Tony D'Angelo and Stax. They killed pretty deadly last night on NXT, is what I heard.
Well, what about Two Dimes?
No, that's Stax. That's the same guy, I think, isn't it?
No, Two Dimes was murdered. Remember, they
here's what I know. Two of the well, then that's the same thing they did to Pretty Deadly last night on NXT. Those two current guys put Pretty Deadly into the trunk of a car, and at the end of the show, they took them out of the trunk and threw them over a bridge.
That's what they did.
The rumor is,
oh my god,
yeah. The rumor is that Pretty Deadly, by the way, is going to be in the draft, and that they're set to be on SmackDown this Friday.
So that's
it.
What
turns
happened.
Out they didn't die.
Well, they floated downstream, and they're just gonna float by wherever SmackDown is and get out and be like, oh. There we are. It's a bad idea. You will absolutely destroy Cody Rhodes if you give him that title. Because you're basically saying, I mean, really, to whoever wins the title, it's basically like, well, none of you could beat Roman. Roman's the best. Here's a trinket for you to play with.
I mean, all right. Here's my giving in to the system, trying to make it work. Yeah. Trying to make it work.
Okay.
Cody gets drafted to the opposite show as Roman. It's a devastating heartbreak, right? Because he wants to beat Roman Reigns. He wants to be WWE champion. He gets into the match for the first ever World Heavyweight Championship. He wins it. They make it a big moment. Nobody really acknowledges that it's not what he wanted. He even comes out, you know, the next night, what do you guys want to talk about, with the belt on his shoulder, that whole thing. And he's like a fighting champion for most of the year. He loses the belt before the Royal Rumble. He's already won the Royal Rumble, so he's not going to win it again, right?
Right.
But going into the Rumble, you can see that, over the fall, you know, when it builds up to him losing the belt, basically it's him starting to doubt himself and starting to, something's wrong, but he won't say what it is. He loses the belt. Going into the Rumble basically says, can't do this anymore. Like, I still need to finish the story. I've got to do this. And then you reignite the Rumble. Because at that point, let's get real. Roman Reigns is carrying that belt until Mania next year. And if anybody's going to take it, it's probably going to be Cody Rhodes. But this is what everyone keeps saying. He's got to go through some hard times and all that. Okay, let him win the belt, and then let him slowly like start to doubt himself again. And then it's the best I got on short notice here. But at least it, I guess, eventually accomplishes the goal. Again, I don't like it. He should have won at WrestleMania this year, but I think that's probably what happened. But if it does, that immediately devalues the new title too, because it's not good enough, right? It's not what he wanted. It's not the belt he wanted to win.
That's because it's not. It's not good enough.
It's not.
Thank you. it's a bad idea, but you know, maybe they won't do that. Maybe they'll put it on someone else, and Cody will get to finish the story. I don't know, man. WWE booking right now, I don't know. I just don't know anything. It literally changes from moment to moment. Where I'll read the reviews, I'll watch clips, and I'll go, okay, that was a good segment, and then the next one I'll go, but why? And it's like, is Triple H and Vince McMahon both booking the show at this point? Is that what it is? Are they fighting for the book, and Triple H writes what he wants to write? Vince changes what he wants. Yeah. And so you have this really uneven show.
I heard a weird comparison for this the other day, a strangely accurate one. It is, oh God, what's his name? Ryan Johnson and J.J. Abrams
fighting between the Star Wars sequels,
yeah. right? Because every one of those movies did everything it could to undo the previous one.
Right.
So it was Abrams, then it was Rian Johnson, then it was Abrams again. And every new movie, it was like, hey, you remember that thing from the last movie? We're definitely not doing that again. Sometimes blatantly. Oh, we could try a Holdo maneuver. Oh, that only works because of jargon. Move it on. Can't do that anymore.
It's because, well, somehow Roman Reigns returned.
Our own Ace of Grey, by the way, gave the where you know, he likes to talk about the power of positivity, but when this yeah. story broke, by the way, he was the first one to go, yeah, you know, so this new belt is going to make it so other people can win belts except for Roman Reigns until Roman wins it too.
Yeah, I saw someone posted a picture on Reddit.
Oh, they were my
like,
God.
Spoiler alert. And it said, like, the next WrestleMania, and it's Roman holding the two titles and now the new one. And then the year after that is him holding those titles and another new one. And he's just going to keep collecting the new belts. Roman
collects them. Like Infinity Stones.
Yeah, he could potentially hit 3,000 days as champion at this point. And holy shit, God. Man. What a worthless, arbitrary thing. Hey, speaking yes. of writing, let's get into one of the... Because we said we go 30 minutes. It's 30 minutes. We still have like three stories yeah. to cover. We're a goddamn liar.
Well, we got one big thing and then one very small thing that we can run right through. But this lawsuit deal is pretty big.
Two lawsuits. I know there's the Rock of Khan one. And we'll talk about that in a second. But have you heard of the other
sure.
one?
Yeah, no, this is what I assumed you were going to talk about, actually.
Oh, okay.
The Rock and Con one, you and I had already talked about yesterday, I think, but this was the big one that was making news today.
Yes, and it is a humdinger where a former writer for the WWE named yes. Brittany Abrahams, who is a black writer, should be noted, yes. Is suing WWE, Vince McMahon, and a couple other people due to racism and unfair treatment.
Stereotyping.
And part of the thing she mentioned in there was some things that even I remember going like, this is bad. Apollo Crews, yep. when he started being the Black Panther.
Yes.
It was like,
yeah.
not Black Panther. Is it Black Panther? That's the Marvel hero,
well,
right?
Well, that's kind of what they were aping, yeah. So Apollo Crews is Nigerian. He is originally from Nigeria. But there was that brief period of time for like a year or so, and it was between when he started his main roster run and when he went back to NXT. Where suddenly he like really accented his speech with like a Nigerian accent.
Yes,
he started bringing a spear and like he had the scarf thing.
And he had Commander Aziz.
He had soldiers, yeah, that yeah. would like flank him, and they pumped him up as this Nigerian prince kind of thing. That was part of it that was included in there. The Bianca Belair one is the one that really gets my attention. So Abrahams like notes all these situations where she basically what it is she tried to step in and say, hey, this is a bad idea. And everyone went, you're right. And then they did nothing about it.
Right.
And they were getting complaints from the talent who were involved in it. Bianca Belair is a line. There's a line that was included for her here that Abrahams noted specifically that was they wanted Bianca in a promo to say, don't make me take off my earrings and beat your ass.
Which is an extremely like stereotypical
yeah.
black woman ghetto thing.
Yes.
Which
and that's
she
the thing.
Said.
It's right. Bianca Belair said specifically, at least Abrahams quoted her as saying, this is like a ghetto thing. I don't want to do this. They try to pitch this line to me every week, and every week I tell them no.
Yeah.
And so Abrahams was the one who kind of stepped in and said, hey, this is not a good idea. It's going to be harmful. It's going to offend viewers. Maybe the one that gets me the most is the Mansoor one.
Oh,
please
yeah,
tell me you
yeah,
read the Mansoor
yeah. Hold on.
One.
Before you mention that one, though, I do want to mention another one where they wanted to put Reggie in drag and have
yeah Reggie, the guy who hung out with Carmella for a while. If you
yeah,
forgot.
It was who is currently Script, I think is his name.
He's Scripts, yeah, with a
Scripts,
Y.
Yeah, on NXT, yeah. which is oh my god. Did you see that video? The promo video he did where he's sitting Batman style. He's sitting on the like the edge of a building, storm behind him, wind blowing, rain falling, and the promo is all in text saying like see you next week. That is the edgiest, goofiest shit I have seen in a long time. And I'm like, Shawn Michaels,
you have to carry
what
this for a minute. I gotta go get a Band-Aid because I cut myself on all that edge.
So that's pretty bad, but it's still better than being put in drag so you can team up with
with Carmella.
But that's but the Mansoor thing. Mansoor. This is my favorite. Go ahead, please.
In another incident, a writer proposed that a Muslim wrestler's secret would be that he was behind the 9/11 attacks. The full lawsuit notes that this was pitched for Mansoor. So that was the gimmick. He was behind 9/11. It was one guy, and it turns out it was one half of the Maximum Male Model.
Well, not only that.
I need you to know, Mansoor was 5 years old when 9/11 happened.
That's what I was about to say, is that it's Boss Baby. He's that big of a genius.
Oh, my God.
I could absolutely see WWE, especially at that, I say at that time, but this is like a year ago, pitching that a Muslim wrestler was behind 9/11. Yep. I'm surprised they didn't do it with Muhammad Hassan. This is the same company that had, Rusev and Lana come out, talk about how great Putin is after shooting down the planes in Ukraine. This is the company that
had JBL go to the border and arrest Mexican people.
It's the company that had Sergeant Slaughter become an Iraqi sympathizer. This is the company that it's bad. It's bad.
So how did we go this far without mentioning Choppy Choppy Your Pee Pee?
Oh.
Yeah, the Japanese Mafia? Like, come on, man.
You mean the Japanese Mafia, the Yakuza, that threatened to cut off Val Venus's penis because he was having an affair with Yamaguchi-san's wife, and he was saved by John Wayne Bobbitt, who famously had his penis cut off by his wife. He went on to perform in the film Frankenpenis. These are real things, guys.
I need you to stop.
These are real storylines. I'm not making this shit up.
This might be my favorite part of this whole story, not just the 9/11 Mansoor thing. I'm quoting now from the story. Abrahams and others complained. So that's the whole basis of the deal, right? And Vice President of WWE Christine Lubrato allegedly said in response, quote, "Wacky things are said in the writer's room all the time.
It's just locker
talk. And I know, but look at the waves we're making in the company. 4 years ago, no woman worked on the writers' team.
You know.
So not only is it locker room talk, but then it's I can't be racist. I have a black friend.
This reminds me. I don't want to get political on the show, but I made fun of Tucker Carlson last night. This reminds me of the lawsuit going against Tucker Carlson right now by Abby Grossman, who was a producer on his show, and she was one of the only female producers in Fox to get called up to a major level. So she put up with so much until she couldn't anymore because, everyone's like, well, it's just Tucker. This is just Fox. No, that's not how it is. It's offensive and it's wrong. And this is that. And I absolutely, I could see Tucker Carlson doing those things, and I could see WWE doing those things because holy shit, WWE is a fucking cesspool sometimes.
We should clarify too. The actual lawsuit for Abrahams against WWE is really about retaliation. So she spoke out a bunch against all these pitches. She was fired in April last year. The reason that WWE gave her for her being fired is that she took home a WrestleMania branded chair. I assume they mean like the folding chairs that have the things on them.
Right.
But she noted in the lawsuit that there were white male writers who did the same thing. So she says, no, this is a retaliation basically for me saying these were bad ideas. And that's what allowed all this storyline stuff to come out. I very much misunderstood what was happening earlier in the day when I first saw this. I was under the impression it was Bianca Belair.
I did too.
I was like, holy shit. That ain't great.
What happened?
That's going to be a whole thing. Yeah.
But
it's still not great, but that's what's happening there.
But I'll tell you about another person who's suing WWE, and she is a wrestler, and she is a African-American wrestler, never for the WWE, I don't believe, but this
I don't think so.
I thought this would be the craziest thing we talked about until all the other things we've talked about, but Raka Khan, who you may remember from TNA, you probably don't, but you might remember from TNA, is suing a couple of people alleging that they conspired to kidnap her and her children. Now, this is after she was arrested for, child custody? I think it was interference with child custody.
Yeah.
It's a whole long story. Well, she decided to sue these people she feels is responsible for this false imprisonment, et cetera, et cetera. Can I read you the list of people she's suing?
Yes, please.
And for you fans out there who are like, well, who's she suing? Well, it gets pretty interesting.
while you get into that, she wants $3 billion from these people, by the way.
$3
billion. $3 billion. I just looked out of curiosity.
So here's a list of people she's suing, and I'm not making any of this up. She is suing the state. And by the way, keep in mind as I read this off to you that a judge a legal judge saw this and went, yeah, that
sounds like
okay.
A good idea.
Yeah. Yep. She is suing the state of Texas, the El Paso Child Protective Services, the FBI, the Las Cruces. I don't know what that is. That one, I'm not sure what that is.
No, Las Cruces, New Mexico Police Department. It's the city.
Okay.
State.
Okay.
Yeah.
The NYPD, both of them, the NYPD yep. and Las Cruces, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, New York ACS, the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity, Shirley Police Department, Sigma Phi Epsilon, Suffolk County, New York, The Rock, The Miz and Maurice, Heath Slater, Nikki Bella, the late murderer Chris Benoit,
who has been dead for 16 years,
Mark Jindrak, Panda Energy, which was once owned by Impact, Home Depot, yep. maybe they provided the tape, I don't know. Florida
I can just hear, now I'm just hearing the song.
Florida Championship Wrestling, which doesn't exist anymore. Steve Kern, the National Wrestling Alliance, Billy Corgan, who's the president of the National Wrestling Alliance, Deep South Wrestling, which also doesn't exist anymore, Bank of America, Michael Jordan, the basketball star, a bunch of universities, Jim Cornette, who had a very funny take on this, Mick Foley, and the New York City area energy company, Con Edison, amongst others. And a judge saw all those names and went, yeah. Stick it to the man tonight.
He just sat back with his popcorn and was like, ah, you know what? Every once in a while, you just gotta.
And you know what?
I just gotta relax.
I don't blame him. I can't wait to see this. I hope it goes to trial. And I hope all of these people have to testify. I want
she
Nikki.
Wants $3 billion.
I want Nikki Bella, Michael Jordan, and the estate of Chris Benoit to go up there and be like, what the fuck?
Oh my God, it gets better. I didn't know about this. It should also be noted that, so her last name for the record is Biggers.
Yes.
Biggers still has a bench warrant out for her arrest after failing to appear in December on the charges. She was indicted in August 2019 and labeled as one of the most wanted fugitives in El Paso, Texas after failing to show up to court. They finally arraigned her in December of that year after she no-showed two consecutive appearances and had her bail revoked. So
I think the only response to that would be a very Cribs like, oh Lord. <That's> what,
oh man.
I was good. I could,
yeah, this is
there's
this
no
is
part good. Of me this that could have put stuff. That as the thing I hated in wrestling most this week because I love this.
No, I love it. That's exactly why I'm gonna end the show on what I told you I was gonna end on earlier. I thought about making this my most hated thing. I don't hate this. I love this story.
What was that?
I think it's it's disgusting, but I love this story.
Oh, so, shit. I mean, literally. Yeah,
yeah.
I just thought of it.
Yes,
yeah.
Literally. Hmm. So I need you to understand what I'm about to read for you came directly from the mouth of Kevin Nash. And I know that I have extolled the virtues of the user on Reddit, Kev Nash Shoots on This, before. This reads like a Kev Nash Shoots on This bit, because Kevin Nash has a very distinctive way of speaking. The things that he says in promos are all very he just has this cadence, this right. way of, you know, who you're hearing when he talks. So he was actually doing an episode of what I assume is his podcast, Click This, KLIQ, Click This. Yeah. And for some reason it came up that Sting, of all people, I would never have guessed that Sting, Steve Borden, is a ribber. He's a prankster. He likes to pull pranks in the locker room. I would not have expected this. Unfortunately, it's these kinds of pranks. Again, this all comes directly from the mouth of Kevin Nash. I'm not going to do an impression because it would be bad. Nash says, quote, he was a prankster, you know? He loved a good shit rib. He got Bagwell one time. It started off, now that's back when you used to get the USA Today's at your front door. So fucking Sting went and shit in the middle of Bagwell's USA Today. So Bagwell grabs it. Of course, you're going right to the dumper when you grab it to sit down and read it. Buff opens it up and turds fall on him. Then he says, so that was number one. Then I think Steve said he left something in the back of the car when they came back from the gym. He had a bag of shit he put underneath the front seat and just let it simmer for the entire road trip. Everybody was like, what the fuck? They're looking in the glove box and everywhere. He had a couple of good ones.
A couple of good ones.
A couple of good ones. Also, I really love that the first take I saw on it, when he says the part, so that was number one, they go, no, that was number two.
Ah.
I I definitely think I'm going to, before the night is over, change somebody's name to Good Shit Rib in the group chat.
I hear that and I just think comedy.
What is it with wrestlers and shitting on each other? Randy Orton dumping in people's bags. Sting pooping in the USA Today so the turds fall on the Buff Bagwell. Also, what is Sting eating that they're falling? I'm sorry, man. The turds, they don't work like that. Like, they're not just rolling around.
That's not comedy.
Also, I'm sorry. Who picks up a USA Today and doesn't go, that's got a fucking turd in it?
Something smells funny about this paper.
And it's also very heavy. Like, if Sting's poops are that light, he should visit a doctor soon.
I feel like Bagwell grabbed it, and one of the other wrestlers said, hey, Buff, man, careful. That's got a lot of shit in it. And he goes, yeah, I know, fucking libs. And he walks over and opens it. And it just pours out on him. All right. Well,
I said all of that. I was trying to give him a lot of credit, but Buff Bagwell is a man who wore a felt stovepipe hat voluntarily for like 20 years.
Don't say that too loud, because Justin Smart does that now. Justin loves Buff. He loves Buff.
I was going to say, importantly, Justin Smart is not Buff Bagwell.
No, and Justin,
two very different people. And Justin,
Justin the Juice Smart does not read papers filled with shit. I don't think Justin Smart has read a paper in 20 years, but anyway, all right. Well, that's going to do it for us on that note. What a fun night of wrestling action. We'll be back. We won't be back tomorrow, actually. We'll be attending special on-stage production of some Miyazaki film. I think it's Spirited Away. It might be Dr. Krabs. I don't know. I think that's a Miyazaki film, Dr. Krabs. Anyway, so there will be no After Dark tomorrow. Potentially a Horse Time on Friday. Why not? It'll be a lot of fun. And then, of course, again, this is a wrestling show, this Saturday, 6 p.m. Bell Time, CCW Super Show 6. Biggest show, probably I'd say this is the second biggest show we've ever done. I still think the show where we had Christopher Daniels, Scorpio Sky, Frankie Kazarian, I believe, and Racist Scott and Transphobic Rick was still probably the biggest show we've ever done. But this is definitely, much like Buff Bagwell's paper, this is definitely number two. So we'll see you guys this weekend for that. Until then, take care of yourselves. We'll see you either later this week or next week for myself and for Double H. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hunter, oh, God, please take us out.
I figured as much as music for divorced poops.
What the fuck?